Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the By Yahweh's Design conference call for the 18th day of September, year 2019. I am Commander Dan, your host and chairman for this meeting of the House of Jacob Israel. The agenda for today's call is Malachi Chapter 4, Revisited. This will be a solo rant, so anybody wishing to call in to partake or ask a comment or question, certainly feel free to do so. We do dedicate this call to our Heavenly Father Yahweh, who is the great I Am. We also dedicate this call to His holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or Paleo-Hebrew. To my Welsh kinsmen across the ocean, Shumai, and welcome to the program. Kumruan Bith. Again, callers are welcome, and please remember we are in the question and answer mode for this session, which means you need, if you're on a phone, you need to hit a *6. And if you're on your computers, there should be a button that says question and answer. Or something similar to that, that will flag me that you want to be unmuted and put into the call. So let's see, everybody should be muted when they log in. I think they are. And so I'm going to go ahead and this is new software. We were forced to go to the new, what was being called the beta version of free conference call. Now, since September 10th, we've been forced into it, so you have to give me a little bit of time to figure out, as with all new software, how to do what we used to do. So my biggest concern is when you're calling in, it used to be I could see everybody on the screen, and then when you wanted to ask a question, you went into what they called a queue. But now, for some reason, they're sticking the queue in the spot where I see everybody that's logged on. and yet they've got this great big part of the screen that's just completely blank. So sometimes when they, quote, improve a version that's out there, it's not necessarily better. So Bubby1483, welcome and praise Yahweh. Amen. Oh, Lordy. Let's see, I forget if I said hallelujah, which is all praise Yahweh in ancient or Paleo-Hebrew. Yeah, I did say that. Okay. Also want to remind you that we do update the website, Pastor Dan, and that's all together, pastordan.net. We do that quite frequently, and as things are coming in fast and furious, it's going to be harder and harder for me to try to send out bulk email to folks, besides the fact that some of the email program platforms are using their algorithms to weed out what they're calling it spam, but what it is just people trying to get out bulk information. So some of you folks set your spam filters on, and most of what we send out gets into your trash can anyway. So a lot of things, a lot of people trying to throw stumbling blocks in front of us out there, but we're going to get through this somehow, some way. We are told we're going to be victorious, and that's what we plan on doing. So I'm trying to see here. Okay. Now, I wanted to read here one of the quotes that we talked about here quite frequently, and this was Dresden James. When a well-packaged web of lies has been sold gradually, here we go again with what the scriptures told us about gradualism, leaven of the Pharisees, gradually to the masses over generations, the truth will seem utterly preposterous and its speaker a raving lunatic. We're there, okay? I can't tell you how many people have told me about what they have paid, the price that they have paid, and everything else. to get this truth out there. In fact, my good friend in Western Canada, he and I are senior citizens now, and we were talking in a personal chat, and he told me about the fact that he's been disowned by his own family members. Most of my family hasn't quite got to that point, but they did rumor and talk behind my back. So I guess it's similar to that. They just didn't want to say to my face that they thought I was a lunatic, but between themselves they did. And now they're starting to whistle a different tune. And so we have to hang on to the scripture that says to be overcomers, which means we don't allow what people on this earth say about us or what they do or what they write about us or any of that stuff. We don't let that deter us, okay? Don't let it deter you. You stay on the straight and narrow. And keep your eyes on the goal. What's the goal? It's to get through this miserable life that we're down here trapped in this prison world until we get to the other side. But we got to get through it regardless. No matter what kind of hurdles are put in front of us, no matter what kind of roadblocks are there, you stay focused on our King. Who is that? Yahshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ. He was our kinsman redeemer. He was Yahweh in a flesh body. He came here for a purpose, to redeem that which was lost. Who was lost? We are lost. We're lost as to who we are. We're lost as to who our God is. We're lost to the truth of the scripture, and that's why we're going to go into Malachi chapter 4 here in a minute, to show you why our ancestors were actually closer to the truths, the original truths as taught by Messiah, than we could ever be. Because the modern world and all this technology and everything has just made us dumber. It's made us lazy, apathetic, makes us think that the electronic versions are all truthful, et cetera, when, sorry, but it's not, okay? So again, we're going to get into Malachi 4. In the meantime, we got a few more quotes here, and then we'll get into that. This is Pope Clement VIII, 427 years ago. All the world suffers from the usury of the Jews, their monopolies and deceit. Hallelujah. They have brought many unfortunate peoples into a state of poverty, especially farmers, working class people, and the very poor. Again, Pope Clement VIII. Now, here, how do the Jews work? Well, when they were the Bolsheviks, see, they always change names. They change their personal names. They change who they claim to be, never identifying to the public that they're Talmudic Jews. So in Russia, they refer to themselves as the Bolsheviks. Okay, what did they promise the working class in Russia? A better life, you know, once we get the czar out of there and we take over, blah, 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 it's going to be better. And what was it? Absolutely worse. And now, Amazing Polly, though you may not agree with her on all issues, she did some really wonderful research into how this Pharisaical order, these Talmudists, these communists, infiltrated the United States in the early 1900s with all of their hidden agendas and hidden societies. And one of the things that they did was to take the high road with the intellectuals on how great everything will be, again, once the commies are in charge. Well, as we've seen, we're living through what they started almost 90 years ago in this country. And it's anything but that. Just ask the Russian people, especially the white Russians, how it worked out when the red Bolsheviks took over. 20 million souls were lost between Russia and China when the Bolsheviks took over. And remember this, too. The Chinese people did not rebel and install communism. Communism came into China exactly as it did into Russia by the Bolsheviks, the Jews. Okay, same thing with Pol Pot in Cambodia, where many millions of people died. The percentage of people of the total population that died in Cambodia was higher than any other country Well, Pol Pot's no different than Mao Zedong. He's a piece of crap individual who would never have amounted to a damn thing, except that he was backed by the Bolshevik Jews. Okay? You got to learn the truth about history, folks. And here's the sad fact. We fought World War II to bring down Germany, Italy, and Japan. And let's see. Oh, they were the three countries who stood against world communism stronger than any nations on earth. Well, they'll tell you that the French and the British and the Americans and the Canadians were anti-communists. Well, if that were true, then why has communism flourished since World War II? In fact, the European countries, Canada and the United States, are more communist now than you can imagine. So if we were really trying to end communism, we failed miserably. And in the meantime, we destroyed the armies of the three nations who fought the hardest to actually keep the communists at bay. Not much of a thing to be proud of, is it? Not much at all. So, again, we suffer from our ignorance. A new word that you need to put in your glossary, and I am kind of happy that there's a lot of channels now that I listen to where they're picking up some of the things they've learned off of these different radio broadcasts by our people. They're pulling out the Greek and Hebrew lexicons. They're pulling out the Webster's Dictionary to get into that. See, that because the word alchemist, the Jew, he plays games on us all the time. See, he works by deception, okay? So he gets you to believe words mean things than they used to, et cetera, et cetera. You know, back when our founding fathers said, shall not be infringed, they'll try to tell you it means something else. That's one of the telltale signs you're dealing with a Bolshevik Jew or somebody under their control is because they will try to manipulate rather than deal with issues head on. Okay, they're not going to deal with issues head on. They're going to try to manipulate all the time, manipulate the conversation, manipulate the many meanings of words, et cetera, et cetera. So here's a new word I found in the dictionary, and it was sent to me, I think, by Michael, kakistocracy. Of course, it comes from two Greek words put together. Kakis is the part that says bad or evil, and ocracy is to control, like in democracy. Okay, so kakistocracy is defined as governance by the worst elements of society who govern exclusively in their own interests. Tell me that isn't our Congress today, and state government too, and to the permanent detriment of all other classes. That's right out of the dictionary, folks. It's just like the definition of a bureaucrat. Okay, everybody walks around, talks about government people being bureaucrats. Do you really understand what you're saying? A dictionary definition of bureaucrat is a public official who does the same thing day in and day out without intelligence. That's right out of Webster's Dictionary. I've got it sitting right over here on the shelf. I couldn't believe it when I found it. So here again, if you go back to the beginnings, go back to your roots and get grounded on a firm foundation as to the meanings of things, that's why we're going to get into Malachi, on how they've changed the Greek language when they translated it into English, and how we lose a lot of what our ancestors were trying to tell us. Karl Marx, who, of course, was a Bolshevik Jew, his 10th plank of his Communist Manifesto, and this is something that is beginning to catch on across the country, is to get your children out of the goddamn public school system. I don't know how to say it any plainer. Get your children out of this damnable public school system. Whatever it takes. Send them to private schools. I don't particularly recommend the Catholic Church and their schools, but anything almost is better than this public school system. It is atrocious. Atrocious. And I saw today where the public school system and the universities are trying to indoctrinate our children to believe that pedophilia is just another alternate lifestyle. After all, we bought the bullshit that the queers are just an alternate lifestyle, right? You got people walking around now as if that, well, it's always been that way, Dan. No. No, it hasn't. Okay? I'm old enough to know that that's bullshit. No, it hasn't always been that way. Okay? You see how they, gradualism, incrementalism, beware the leaven of the Pharisees, which is what? Their hypocrisy. Leaven, what is the dictionary definition of leaven? Anything that makes a small, almost imperceptible change in a thing or a process. Small, almost imperceptible. Imperceptible meaning you don't notice it. Karl Marx said the education of all children from the moment that they can get along without a mother's care, basically off the mother's boobs, shall be in state institutions at state expense. Again, people say, well, what can we do, Dan? Let me tell you something. Everybody can do something, okay? Whether it's to educate your friends and family, support somebody on the front lines, or make a change in your family. Just like when I sat all of my beautiful children down and told them that I would not tolerate race mixing. Under no circumstances would I tolerate it. None. Now, did I force them? Did I threaten them with, I'd beat them or shoot them? No. I just simply told them straight out the facts that they would no longer be my children because I don't have to make them my children. I don't have to love them. Nothing in Scripture says I should love a disobedient child. Nothing. As long as they remain in their disobedience, nothing in Scripture tells us to worship our children. In fact, just the opposite. Christ himself said, if you love anything on this earth more than me, you don't deserve me. That's what he said. Do our people believe it? No. Our people disobey him all the time. They make almost anything a god that's higher than Christ himself. Everything, including their children. Now, I know you mothers, that's why you're mothers. Women were given the capacity for unconditional love. That's wonderful, but not men. We don't have that disease, all right? That was given to you because you don't belong in the political arena. You don't belong on the battlefield, and you sure as hell don't belong in the boardroom of our companies, okay? You weren't made for that. You were made to be at home taking care of the children because you were given the tools to do that. You were not given the tools to be in charge because we men, as the judges of Jacob Israel, we are going to look at things very pragmatically. And a child that is a disobedient to their family in the sense that they're going after the ways of the world and walking away from Yahweh's way, let them go. But you don't coddle them. You don't condone their behavior. That's ludicrous. Why would you do that? Why would you condone them? Why do you think worshiping children is a good thing to do? I don't understand it. It's the same thing with people that worship their animals. We've even gotten to the point where people worship their animals more than they do their own family members. Can you believe that? I find it hard to believe, but it's true. It's true. They worship animals more than they worship or take care of their own families. Rob, servant of Jesus on YouTube, he's got a pretty good one on his website. He says, die on your feet or live on your knees. That's your choice. You may die on your feet. We're all going to die someday anyway, but you do have a choice on how you're going to go. Are you going to expend your life in the pursuit of frivolous bullshit that Satanists want you to go to, or are you going to use it in a righteous fight and war against the wicked? Okay? It's your choice. Everybody has a choice. Zechariah 14, verse 9, Yahweh will be king over all the earth. Are you paying attention? Who ends up winning this war? And in that day, Yahweh will be one and his name one. Okay? Our king is going to win this war, with or without us. But let me say something. On the other side of this fight, it's a whole lot better for those that choose to fight with the king than those that go against him, okay? That's just common sense. It's a whole lot better. Richard Buckminster Fuller, here is a model for us to follow. You never change things by fighting the existing reality. Folks, if you haven't figured out yet, elections are rigged. Nobody picks these morons to be in our government. It's all a show. You're fighting a reality that has rigged everything against you. To change something, build a new model that makes the existing model obsolete. How do you build a new model? Like I said, you set your children down and let them know that you will not tolerate certain behaviors. Won't tolerate it. That's a step. You can do that. Nothing's stopping you. You have a right to do that. You can tell children that won't behave that they can go on down the road. I'll disown you, like I told my children. I'll disown you. I'll never call you. I'll never visit you. And I don't want you to come to see me. I have no interest in what happens to you if you decide to mix blood. The scripture makes it very plain. It said that the holy seed was mixed with the unholy. That's not a spiritual thing. That's a physical thing. Because when you start mixing the holy seed, then the spiritual contamination comes after it. Because let me tell you, if you're laying with a woman who's got a different race and a different culture, you're going to tell me it's not going to affect you? It sure as hell is. So the modern day preachers are telling us all, oh, it's just a spiritual, it's talking spiritual there. No, it's not. It's talking physical. And again, I'm tired of watching people, well, Dan, I don't really agree with the race mixing, but they're my children, they're my grandchildren. Yeah, and that has to do with it how? Okay? How does that have anything to do with what we're talking about? It has absolutely nothing to do with it, because like I said, right there in your book that you claim you read, all you believers out there, it says right in that book very plainly, if you love your children or anything on this earth more than Yahweh himself, because Yahshua was Yahweh in a flesh body, you don't deserve him. You don't deserve any blessings whatsoever, and especially on your family. A lot of people are saying, well, you know, it is kind of strange why God would allow all the young children to be hurt and this disease and, you know, there's all these. Well, who's allowing that? Is it Yahweh allowing that? Or is it us? We have the power to stop this. It's like this cacistocracy that we live under. We outnumber them probably, what, a couple hundred thousand to one? You're telling me that a couple hundred thousand of us can't make one stinking, rotten, corrupt politician behave? Yeah, we can. So every time you read all this nasty stuff that's in the news about the children, the pedophilia, and all, it's you, ladies and gentlemen, that are allowing it to happen. It's we collectively. Remember, most of the Bible was written to a group of people, not individuals. I like these people that come out and they start criticizing, well, you know, Diane, if you really believe what you say, you know, you'd be out there in the street and just going to do it yourself. Yeah, if I want to get mowed down in a hail of bullets and waste my life, I'd go out there by myself. No. We're supposed to do this as a group. That's what the book talks about, a group. Was it Moses that left Egypt with just Aaron or you know, by themselves? Did they go with just the immediate family? Or was it the whole group went out? When Joshua let them out, was it the whole group or just a few? When Abram left Ur of Chaldee, did he do it by himself and his immediate family, or did a group go with him? The different time the Israelites do things, it seems to me that they do it as a group. So stop criticizing people because you say, well, you're making fun of them because they don't run out here and try to become a martyr. No, nothing in the book says we're supposed to be martyrs. Very few of our people have ever been called to the duty of martyrdom for our people. Okay? That's ridiculous. That's what the enemy wants you to do. Take your best men and have them go on a battlefield or out here and get mowed down by police. No, no, no. Our best men are much more valuable than that, because we have a serious shortage of men in the world today, thanks to the endless wars and the nonsense with the drugs and the bad food and the medical mafia and all this other stuff that's going on. It's decimated our ranks. It's decimated our ranks. So today, more than ever, a real man is a rare commodity. We're not going to throw them away on some street or against a demonstration with a bunch of cucks or these feminists or any of these other refuge of society people. Why? Let them go. Let them go. What we need to do is back away from them. We need to walk away from this whole system. We need to form our own groups and communities. Like the Amish. The Amish have successfully done it. People say, well, you can't do it today. They'll come in and they'll do like they did Waco, Dan. Really? You haven't figured out Waco was a staged thing right from the get-go? Every person there was part of it? You haven't figured that out yet? The whole purpose of Waco was to do exactly that, to get you sitting around on your thumbs. Here again, how do they control us? Fear. Sit on your thumbs so that you don't do the very thing that Yahweh's waiting for us to do. Say you've had enough and walk away from Babylon. Doesn't it say come out of Babylon? Maybe you're reading a different book than I am, but mine says to come out of Babylon so that you do not partake in her plagues. Okay? You don't want to partake in all this nonsense you see around? Well, then come the hell out. I'm waiting for the group, all right? I'm ready to go. And people say, well, we don't have this. Well, it starts with a group of people that says, I'm going to do whatever it takes. I'm going to do whatever it takes. And let's go get this thing going. Okay? Angel sends in here, yes, women care deeply for all their children, but some are easier to love. But when they are grown adults, some of them are not liked at all. A child should never become your pal. Yeah, that's exactly right. That's exactly right. I've watched so many of our people waste so much time and money coddling their children, and what did it get them? When the children got older, they walked all over them. Never called, never visited, act like they don't even exist. No, children are blank slates. And what they need is strong leadership from mom and dad, especially dad. Okay? Especially dad. They need strong male leadership, setting the boundaries and the rules. That's what they need. Okay? And I've seen it work way too many times. So any of you out there that might think you're going to try to convince me I'm wrong with them, no, no, no. I've lived enough decades now, and I've lived in so many different situations in relationships. I've seen what works, and I've seen what doesn't work. So don't even tell me that. I've watched it. I've said this so many times. Everything I've ever witnessed that was a disaster in my own life and in the life of people around me was because of our disobedience to Scripture, especially since we don't know the true meaning of Scripture. Okay? And again, when we get into Malachi 4 here in a minute, you're going to find out how they have twisted things to take away the true meaning. The Roman Emperor Trajan, sounds like the Emperor Trajan was a smarter man than I give him credit for, use this sword, he's talking to his Roman legions and generals, use this sword against my enemies if, here we go with the conditional, if I give righteous commands. But if I give unrighteous commands, use it against me. So here in antiquity, we have a Roman emperor who has more dignity than the people in the Pentagon have today. they're training their subordinates that you do whatever I say regardless, because they're mostly controlled by the shekels from the Jew bankers, and that's why they want that. Okay, whereas in the day of Trajan, a leader was from among the people, and he led for the benefit of all. And he would say, if I have you pick up the sword to go to do unrighteous things, then you have a right to use that sword against me. How many of your commanders in the Pentagon, how many of you field commanders out there would tell your troops, if I give unrighteous commands, use that M16 on me? Huh? I'll tell you what, I was in the military. I don't remember a commander ever telling me that. I don't remember a commander ever even saying anything remotely close to that. What they tried to do is tell us we have to obey orders. Really? Well, right here is a perfect example. Rome was at the height of empires for a long time. That Roman emperor, I mean, you can't get much better than that. He could have people killed at the snap of a finger. And yet he told his generals and his troops, if I give unrighteous commands, use those swords on me. You see, soldiers aren't a commendable, disposable item for the benefit of the elitists that sit in Washington and the Pentagon. That's not the purpose of a soldier. It's not the purpose of men and women in police uniforms either. They're not expendable little puppets to go out there and do the dirty deeds of these cowards that sit behind glass walls and brick walls while they send the police and the troops out there to do their dirty deeds, their unrighteous deeds. That's why when Josh wrote that article about why a military coup was necessary for the salvation of the United States of America, and by inference, the world, he made excellent points. Because a military coup is being screamed for, if for no other reason than to protect the lives of the military men and women. Because they're being used. That's why I wish, I really wish, and again, I know I'm not the greatest guy that ever walked the earth. I know that. But the Father has put in my heart so many things that I know that would work. It's like, gosh, I wish I could live to see the day when I could actually fix. Because the decisions are easy. It's the doing that's tough. It's getting the people to support the doing. That's what's tough. The solutions are actually quite easy. You just identify Satan's kids and you eliminate them. You get them out of the equation. And then the rest fixes itself almost immediately. Who do you think? Why do you think Diablos in the Greek and Shatan in the Hebrew meant adversary? Both of them. Adversary. Who's the adversary to everything we're talking about? You know, everybody wants clean air to breathe. Everybody wants to see their children raised to be happy and healthy and to be productive and have families of their own. That's universal. Well, it should be universal. It's certainly universal amongst white people. Let's put it that way. The Israelites of old. Okay, that's universal amongst our people. So what is the, quote, adversary to us doing what we know to be the right thing to do? Well, government officials, police, military, because they've all been Judaized. Okay, we even send policemen, believe it or not, we send policemen over to Israel to be trained by people who murder children in the streets. And I've had that testimony given to me by numerous people that have been over there, stationed over there, as either journalists or in our military, in Israel, watching Israeli IDF soldiers gun down Palestinian children in cold blood. That's who you want training your police? Where's the insanity? The insanity lies in us. Because the Jew comes in with their shekels, and that's all she wrote. Why do you think it was the one of the very first things that the Jews did when they came here? Very first thing was to take over money, banking. Okay, we had a few brave souls like Andrew Jackson and Thomas Jefferson and a few others that railed against them and actually were successful for quite some time. Okay, against central banks, especially central banks in the control of Jews. Okay, but eventually they won out with the Federal Reserve being enacted, and the rest is history. Ever since they've been able to create money out of thin air, they were in control of the interest rates. They knew when to buy stocks because of insider information. I mean, just on and on and on. So once they had to control that, then they understood that the average person, especially today, will do almost anything for money because we have no scruples. We're not taught, again, no father in the home to teach rules, what is acceptable behavior and what is not. We've lost that. We've lost it. And again, it's all by design. This isn't stuff that just happened. Oh, geez, it's just amazing. No, this is all by design. Go read the Protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion, okay? The Bolshevik Jew menace from straight from hell. It's all in their playbook, okay? It's all there. It's just that we didn't show up for the fight. That's the problem. We didn't show up for the fight. It's pretty easy to win the football game when there's no other team out there to show up. We forfeit the game. We didn't show up. We decided to sit inside and watch football and drink beer, chase mama, whatever, do drugs. I mean, we got 1,000 different things we entertain ourselves with. It's unbelievable. There's a good book that Sergeant First Class, that's it. Sergeant First Class Stephen Barry, who was the author of the Special Forces Underground, the Resistor, Special Forces Underground magazine. Many, many years ago, he told me about this book. And this explains why men are in such demand today. And it's called War and the Breed, The Relation of War to the Downfall of Nations. Now, when this book was written over 100 years ago, the word nation, they understood nation meant race, okay? Even in your dictionaries today, you should be able to find it. I know I got it in my Webster's Unabridged Dictionary right over here. Nation comes from the Latin root that has to do with race, just like nativity and natal, okay? Na, nation, race. And even the dictionary definition of a race is people who share the following things in common: race, language, religion, heritage, culture. All those things in common. If you don't have all those in common, you're not a nation, folks. Do you see how they change things? Today, what they want you to think of when you see the word nation is country. Well, we have a word for that. It's called country. Nation meant something completely different. Nation has everything to do with race, just as Scripture does. Okay? Scripture has everything to do with race, but they want you to think it doesn't. To pull the wool over our eyes every time. Okay, let's get into this little thing here with Malachi chapter 4. Now, I'm going to say it again because I don't know how long Father's going to put me on this earth. And I'm really glad to see a lot of ministries now that are on YouTube and different areas are starting to pick up, again, things that you and I have been doing on the air together for almost 20 years. But they're starting to pull out Greek and Hebrew lexicons and talk about it. So it's starting, okay? The awakening is happening. But one of the things you need to get on your computers, most of all of you have computers, at least use the damn things for something beneficial for a change. Get all the games off of there and crap. I mean, a lot of you are going to do it anyways, but go and get, it's free, download eSword. eSword. It's free. It's a great tool. I'm going to use it right now. And there's another one that's free online called Blue Letter Bible. Both of them have a lot of the same features. They're laid out a little differently. But the reason I like eSword is I've got on the screen here, it's got all my Bible verses and chapters over here on the left. Your text is in the middle. If we had a video here, I could be showing you all this. The text is in the middle, and this is the Apostolic Bible Polyglot. So what it is, it's got the English, but right by each word is the Strong's number. And here's what's nice about the computerized version of this. As your cursor points to the Strong's number of each of the words, up pop the Strong's definitions, showing you the root of the word, what Strong's definition of it is, etc. You can click on it, and down below is a set of dictionaries. Brown, Driver, Biggs is one, Strong's is one, Thayer's is one. There's an encyclopedia, Knave's commentaries, etc. All that on one screen to make your word studies helpful. So we get into Malachi, and in basic English, it says, "For behold, a day comes burning as an oven," all that's pretty good, "and it shall blaze against them," plural, them. Okay, now who is the them? "And all the foreigners will be, and all the ones doing lawless deeds as stubble." Now, the word arrangement there is a little different than it would flow in modern English, but again, this is 2,000 years old. Okay, so these two groups, the first one is talking about is this thing called foreigners, okay, and that's allagenos, and it's made up of two Greek words, and the first is the a part, the allo part, allo, and it means to be different, okay, different, not the same, whatever. And then genos, guess what genos comes, it comes to genetics, comes from the word genos, meaning what? Race. Okay? So allogenos means somebody not of your race. Now here's where you have to be smarter than Strong's, because Strong's has been corrupted in the sense that it says here in the definition, foreign, that is not a Jew, a stranger. Okay? First of all, you have to understand anything that has the word Jew in it has been corrupted, okay? Because the word Jew is only a couple hundred years old, so obviously people that put this stuff together, if they use the word Jew, then they did not do the proper thing. They did not go back to the original language, okay? Because that's your first clue. So when it says in Strong's here, that is not a Jew, well, that's wrong. Not a Jehudite or Israelite, okay, now that would be proper. See the subtle differences? So you got to have your thinking caps on. You got to stay focused. So when it says not a Jew, it's saying not an Israelite. So allogenos in the Greek language is talking about non-Israelites. So right here, it shall blaze against them, the non-Israelites, and all the ones doing lawless deeds. Now, lawless deeds. That's the Greek word anomos. Anomos. Again, it's a compound word made up of two. The first is an ah, which means what? Same as it does in English today. Means against it, okay? Bait, against, round. You see what I'm saying? Ah. So, anomos. And then when you put them together, it's anomos. Now, the negative participle, and then the Greek word G3551, which is nomos, is the other word. And guess what nomos is? The law. Yahweh's law. Those who are breaking Yahweh's law. Now, in the Strong's, it says here, it comes from a root word meaning to parcel out, especially food, etc., etc. But then it says law, through the idea of prescriptive usage, generally, specifically of Moses and the volumes. Also of the gospel, or figuratively, a principle in law. Okay, but if you go to the more expanded dictionaries, you will find that it says that nomos in the Greek, when the writers of the scripture were talking about our people, and again, this is the Septuagint we're reading here in the Old Testament, it's talking about our Father's law. So there is a day coming, burning as an oven, and it shall blaze against them, A, foreigners who are not Israelites. And the ones who are breaking Yahweh's law. There's two groups of people that he's going to burn a fire amongst them. Now, a lot of people say, well, damn, that that says that, you know, you're a racist or you're prejudiced against other people. No, I'm just telling you what our founding, our ancestors wrote in the thing you call Bible. Now, if you people want to rail against the Bible, you go right ahead. I'm just simply telling you the truth about what the Word says. Okay? I really don't care if it sets well with anybody. It doesn't matter. This is what Malachi is saying. There's a day coming. And he's saying it in figurative language. Fire in the scripture is always judgment. And he's bringing judgment against who? The foreigners. Who've invaded all the lands of the Israelites today? Aliens, non-whites, invading our lands. Now, let me ask you a question and answer it honestly. How many of our nations have been improved by this huge influx of non-white, non-Israelite peoples? Come on. Which of our nations has benefited from being flooded with the non-Israelite peoples? Time's up. Okay. The answer, of course, is none. None of them have benefited from it. So we have foreigners, non-Israelites, and those who do, according to this English here, lawless deeds, but the law, as we take apart the Greek word anomos, is talking about lawless deeds, meaning people who are doing things against our Father's law, not man's law. Man's law, obviously, you can be queer, transgender, pervert, child rapist, organ harvester, sex slave trade, porn movies, making snuff films. The people in charge today, they don't have a problem with any of that. They are the ones doing lawless deeds. And so what? They will be as stubble, just as Obadiah told us. Ezekiel chapter 25 tells us what? The enemies of our father are as stubble. A flame and a fire will come. Go read Obadiah verse 18. And in the day coming shall light them, says the Lord, Kyrios in the Greek, meaning the Lord of forces. Now, that's what it says in this book, which is dunamis. And dunamis is the Greek word that we get dynamo, as in dynamite, dynamo, dynamic. Dunamis is force. Literal or figurative, could be either one. Specifically, miraculous power using by implication a miracle. Ability, abundance, meaning mighty. So, violence, mighty, wonderful work. So, the Father or the Lord or the Master of these things is who's going to bring this about. Now, I go to Thayer's Greek dictionary for this same word, dumas, and it says here in these different definitions, strength, power, ability, inherent power, power for performing miracles, moral power, and excellence of soul, the power and influence which belong to riches and wealth, power and resources arising from numbers, power consisting in or resting upon armies, force, or hosts. How about that? So, at some point, Obadiah says the same thing. Ezekiel says something. And Ezekiel 37 talks about a great and vast and mighty army at some point, right? So, here's the Lord of these forces who is going to bring about this blazing fire. And then the rest of verse 2 here we have, and in no way shall there be left of them root nor vine branch. That's the English, of course. So neither root nor branch. Have we ever heard those words in Scripture before? Yeah, actually we have, haven't we? If it says to utterly destroy somebody so that there is neither root nor branch left, what's that mean? What's that mean? Come on. Time's up. Root or branch being destroyed means they are annihilated. if you take a tree and you uproot it and put it into a burning fire so that there are no cuttings or seeds left behind, it's gone. It can no longer do any harm, can it? Verse 2, and to you, O ones, fearing my name. So he's addressing, I hope, you and I. For those fearing my name. Reverence is also a word for that, because this is a Greek word, 5399, phobeo. Phobeo. So it's not fearing in the sense of like a little child fearing a boogeyman. It's fearing in the sense that you revere the living God. So those fearing my name shall arise, son of righteousness, S-U-N, son, and healing is in his wings. And you shall come forth. Now get a load of this. This is way different than most of your English ones. And you shall leap as young calves, being spared from out of bonds. Bonds. Whoa. Bonds? That's funny. In most of the English ones, it says leap as calves from the stall. But it leaves out the part that the Greeks were telling us, in the sense that you have been spared out from your chains of slavery. Can you say hallelujah? Yeah, that's the part that kind of left out. Isn't it funny how they do that so often? But thank you for the Apostolic Bible Polyglot and folks who have preserved the ancient Septuagint Bible, because it's still in there. So here we find out that Malachi is saying in verse 2 that, yes, we are going to jump as calves. I grew up on a farm. I've seen calves, and they do jump a lot. They're full of all kinds of energy. Okay? And we're going to do the same thing because we have been spared from out of our bonds. We're in bondage right now, folks. We're right back in Egypt. There ain't no difference between our ancestors that were in bondage in Egypt and you and I are today. No difference. In fact, I think we have it worse, to be honest with you. I think the bondage is much worse. They didn't have the technology to invade and spy and do the crap they do to us today. So I think it's a whole lot worse. And you can never get out of debt to these damn Jews. Pharaoh might have been a rough character, but he was nothing compared to these Jews as a group. Nothing. Malachi 4:3, and you shall trample. Now he's talking, who's you again? Oh, that's right, the people who have reverence for Yahweh. And you shall trample the lawless ones. We have that same Greek word here, anomos, those violating God's law. And they will be ashes underneath your feet in the day which I prepare, says Yahweh Almighty. Remember the law of Moses. So here again, we have a reference to that. And this law is, again, what is that word? Nomos, the same root that anomos. Okay? So the law of Moses is referred to as nomos, the law. My manservant, talking about Moses, my manservant, insofar as I gave charge to him in Oreb for all Israel. Oh, wait a minute, here we go. Israel, that's us. For all Israel, orders and judgments. Orders and judgments. Okay. Orders come from a word that has the connotation of to tear towards, that is, burst upon. Orders, as in military orders. And judgments, which is crima, where we get the word crime. Crime and criminal from crima. Condemned, condemnation, damnation, and for desecration of what? The law. It's where we get the word criminal from. So, orders for Jacob Israel orders, as in marching orders, military orders, and judgments against those who break the law. I think Malachi is trying to tell us something. Now, here in verse 5, he's got more to tell you. And behold, I shall send to you Elijah. And we, in that day, it was Elijah. Yahweh is God. His very name is telling you something. Yahweh is El, supreme, power, authority, God, whatever you want to, supreme in authority. I will send you Elijah, the prophetes, or prophet. And what is prophetes according to the Greek language? An interpreter of oracles or other hidden things. One who moved by the Spirit of Yahweh God, and hence his organ or spokesman, solemnly declares to men what he has received by inspiration, especially concerning future events, and in particular such as relate to the cause and kingdom of Yahweh God and to human salvation. Wow. Men filled with the Spirit of Yahweh God, who by God's authority and command in words of weight pleads the cause of Yahweh God and urges salvation of men. Wow. Now do you know why, unlike our ancestors hundreds of years ago, where men of God learned Greek? And I remember when I first read about William and Mary College here in the United States. In fact, most of your major institutions like Harvard, Yale, William and Mary, they were seminaries, originally seminaries. Now they're cemeteries, but they were seminaries. And guess what the freshmen going to William and Mary College back in the 1600s, guess what they had to be able to do just to get into college? They had to be able to read, write, speak, and debate in ancient Greek. That's how well they had to know the language. Now do you know why? And now do you know why they led us away from that? Sly devils. So that we wouldn't read things like that and see what our ancestors were trying to tell us in the original language. Because today's churches are teaching you stuff that's just completely imbecilic. Now, verse 5 was saying that, behold, I shall send you Elijah, or Elijah, the prophet, prophetes, before the coming day of Yahweh the great, which is El Shaddai. And apparent, so he's great and apparent, which means conspicuous, memorable, notable. Whoa, how about that? Verse 6. The one who shall restore the heart of the father to the son. Now, I want you to notice something here. Father is talking about literal or figuratively, meaning ancestors, parents, our kin, to the weos. Weos in the Hebrew is translated son, but we think of it in English today. But that's not what it meant 2,000 years ago, or actually longer than that. Okay, weos is used widely for kinship. Could be a child, a foal, a son, descendant. It has a variety of meanings depending on context. So basically what this is saying, restore the heart, and remember, cardia in the Greek language is where we get the word cardiac. See how it's all related, our language? You know, everybody said, well, no, it's because it's Latin. Excuse me, but ancient Greek predates Latin. Latin came from the Greek. Of course, the Roman Catholic Church obviously has reasons for what you for you to elevate the importance of Latin. However, it's actually Greek. So cardia, which is the heart, probably where the Spanish corazón comes from. Cardia, the heart. And in their language and in their time, the heart was referring, when they said from the heart, it was not just the beating heart within your chest they were talking about. It is here because it is the center of all physical and spiritual life. It is the vigor and sense of physical life. It is the center and seat of spiritual life. The soul or mind, as it is the fountain and seat of the thoughts, passions, desires, appetites, affections, purposes, endeavors. It is also of the understanding, the faculty, and seat of intelligence. It is also the seat of the will and character. So it says here, turn the heart of the, what? Ancestors. Turn the people, parents, rulers of our people, pater, to the sons, meaning the offspring. Turn their hearts, because right now we've abandoned them. Our children are at the mercy of these satanic sons of bitches. We're to return our heart, which is everything I just said, what the cardia means, of our people, our fathers, not, doesn't say mothers, says fathers, men. Are you paying attention? Men. To the children. And the heart of a man. Oh, wait a minute. That's not what your English Bible says, does it? But in the Greek, the next part of that verse is, and the heart, the cardia, of a man. Now, which form of man? Because the Greeks, of course, had different forms of man, just like the Hebrews did. So which man are we talking about? Turn the heart of this man, anthropos, which is where we get the word anthropology, the study of what? Man. But the problem is, anthropos in the Greek was referring to white men. Okay? Now, modern day lexicons will tell you, no, it refers to all men, but that's not true. If you do a detailed study of anthropos, that root word, which I have looked up, you will find it's talking about the very Greek words that's used in it are talking about the countenance of Adamic man. Anthropos was referring to Adamic man. His countenance doth show him. Why was why were people able to tell Cain was thrown out of the garden? Because he had a mark put upon him. His countenance. Haven't you run into people and you meet them for the first time and you can tell there's just something wrong? Haven't you ever done that? I've done it plenty of times. There's a look on their face. There's a body language. There's a countenance. Their countenance doth witness against them. So, the second part of what Elijah and our Heavenly Father are going to accomplish here is the one who will restore the heart of the fathers to their children, to their offspring, to our kind, and the heart of a man, an Adamic man, to his neighbor. Because we don't do anything for our neighbors. We don't even talk to our neighbors. Most people stay shut up in their houses and playing their silly games, or watching that completely retarded electronic toilet called a television. Oh my gosh, but my English Bible, it doesn't say that, Dan. Well, yeah, that's what I'm trying to tell you. Now, in the Greek, this neighbor is a plesion. Plesion. And it could be a neighbor, a friend, any other person, or where two are concerned, the other, thy fellow man, thy neighbor, according to the Israelites, any member of the Israelite nation and commonwealth. Well, wait a minute, that's right in Thayer's? According, because they use the word Jew, but like I told you, you have to be smart enough to figure this out. Anytime you see the word Jew, you have to do some digging, because that is a made-up word. It's how they get us to overlook their criminality. Okay, it's a very easy thing to do. Just whenever you see the word Jew, now you have to go to the Greek word Judaios. And what did Judaios mean? It meant somebody from Judea or a member of the tribe of Judah. But even in this book here, if you have enough smarts, it says, according to the Jews, any member of the Hebrew nation. Who are the Hebrews? We are. Not them. Not them. They're Khazarian. They're not even of the Bible. They're others. When the Bible refers to others besides Israelites, they're part of that crowd. So here you go. According to them, they'll say it's a member of the Hebrew nation. See, the Jews every now and then will actually tell the truth, but they're counting on the fact that you're not going to be able to put the pieces together. You're not going to realize that the Hebrews are our people, and they are imposters. Okay? They're scared to death that you'll ever figure it out. So as long as they know, one, that you're not likely to pull a dictionary out and look at it, most of you won't. Number two, even if you do, you're probably not savvy enough to figure out the word Jew is a made-up word and what it actually means, or you haven't done enough study to figure out that you're the Hebrews. So once again, turning the heart of the Adamic people to their neighbors, meaning other Israelites. And why does Father say here in verse 6 that we are to have that to happen? Lest coming I strike the earth, which is gay, G-E, gay in the Greek language, the earth entirely. Destroy the whole earth entirely. Because if there's no Israelites going to obey the law, then what's the sense? We were put here to tend the garden. It's as simple as that. Adam, and later Eve. Eve came later. She was an afterthought. Adam, that's you and me, men. Okay? As much as I love the ladies, we don't need you. We really don't. Not to do what we were put here to do. Now, are the ladies our helpmeets? Absolutely. Absolutely. But the point of it is, our first duty was to come here and obey our Father. He was the commander-in-chief, we were the soldiers, and we were here alone to implement law and order. And then because Adam was lonely, he wanted a helpmeet, then Father made arrangements for Eve to show up. And again, how all that played out, the nuts and bolts of it, who the hell cares? The point of it is, the Adamic peoples were put here, the men came first, the ladies came later. And all kinds of hell because of that. But again, it's all lays on the shoulders of Adam. Because if Adam had not left Eve alone in that garden, the enemy Nakash, which is a man, an enchanting, deceiving, seducing man, and they're still here amongst us, that seducing, deceiving man called Nakash in the Hebrew would not have been able to seduce Eve. So actually, the curse falls on Adam's shoulders. Falls on you and me, guys. Because we are not to leave Eve alone. We're not to allow Eve to be out of the box. And we've let her out of the box. She's got Pandora's box has been opened, and then we're going to play hell to put her back in again. But ladies, you're going back in the box. I got news for you. That's what I was told to tell you. Okay? And I'm picking Malachi 4 for a couple reasons. One, it's a good example to show you what you're missing if you don't do any word studies, okay? If you're just picking up an English translation, shame on you, because you're going to be missing so much, so much. And we have tools today that makes this research so much easier, a lot easier than when I started doing it, all right? So right here in Malachi, it's a very short one. If you take that section, you're using eSword or Blue Letter Bible, or pull it out and do it hard copy. I've done it that way too. It's not that hard. Okay, if you get a Apostolic Bible Polyglot, they're not that expensive. I got a beautiful leather-bound one. It's laid out exactly like it is here on the screen. It's got the English, and each word has the Greek that you can look up. And then all you have to do is buy a Thayer's Greek lexicon, and they're all in numeric order. You just take the Strong's number, and you look it up. There you go. It's not that hard. Do it online, or do it digitally, or do it in manual. It's not that hard. And look what you find out. You find out Malachi is talking to specific people. This is not people in general. It's not talking about your neighbor, because your neighbor today could be anybody. Back when Malachi wrote this, white people only kept neighbors with other white people. Even when I grew up in the 50s, it was that way in Pennsylvania and most of America. In fact, let me go so far as to say, in the little town I grew up in, we had a small black community, and they lived on the other side of the creek that ran down through the area. There was a creek, and it separated the main part of the town from the other side. So, across the creek, like they used to say, are you from on the other side of the river? That used to be a way of saying, you're not one of us. Okay, so the black people lived over there. Now, was that detrimental to them? No. I used to play baseball with Henry Green, and Henry Green grew up in that little, we used to call it a shanty town, but they were decent homes. It was kind of a fun thing to do, and actually, they didn't care. Henry didn't mind going over there after the ball game was over. We went to our side of town and back to our homes, and they went to their side of town. And everybody lived fine. Everybody understood. Equal but separate. Equal but separate. As the scripture says, they were there, peaceful, they were fed, they had nice homes. And again, Henry played on the same baseball team I played on. Nobody had any prejudice against him. And Henry had no problem going to his side of town when the game was over. We went to our side of town. That's all this is saying right here. Your neighbor is to be one of your own kind. Just like the word brother, when it refers to brother, adelphos. What does that mean? Again, it starts with an ah, so that's a negative. Delphos, or I should say it's not a negative, it means to be from. Like in the English word away, okay, from. So, adelphos, from the womb. It's the same word in your word for Philadelphia. Philos adelphos. Philos adelphos. Brotherly love, okay? What kind of brotherly love? Racial. Adelphos, it means from the womb. It can't mean anything other than that. From the womb. What's that talking about? Well, a white womb can only have white children until they decide to break God's law. What's Malachi say about lawbreakers? They will be as stubble. Why am I sitting here telling you all this? Has it ever entered anybody's mind yet? Why am I sitting here telling you this? Why are these words going out all over the earth and have been for 20 years? Think about it, people. It's not for me. I am completely insignificant in Yahweh's plan. Completely insignificant. I'm just telling you what Malachi is trying to tell you. And he gives you clues as to what you're going to be told and what is going to happen. And Malachi's not the only one, but that's who we're talking about tonight. Time is getting short, people. And many, many people are talking about this. Some of them are biblical people, some of them aren't. And yet everybody can feel it. What's it say in Scripture? I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. It doesn't say only my children's flesh. It says all flesh. So even those who are not his children are feeling it. He's had enough. He would that all people be able to come through this fire, but he also knows that's just not going to happen. I wish all people could come through this judgment period. I just know it's not going to happen. And I'm going to lose family. I'm going to lose friends. I'm going to lose people that live in the same neighborhood I do, that I think are actually pretty decent people. But you see, it's not my judgment. It says right here, those doing lawless deeds. Again, law, man's law. What did Peter say when he was asked about man's law and God's law? Let's see. Peter said, you must choose God's law. He didn't say, I suggest it. He didn't say, well, you know, it depends on how you feel that day. No, he said, you must. What did William Blackstone say? The great jurist from England that was taught in our law schools for many, many years. Blackstone's commentaries. They're full of wisdom and common sense. Blackstone himself said what? Any law created by a body of men that violates God's law is no law at all. So what does that make you when you obey law that runs counter to the king's law? It makes you one who is doing lawless deeds. As it says right here in Malachi, you're thrown in with the tares. So not only is this thing talking about foreigners, alaganos, who are racial aliens, he's talking about those, as our good brother Michael says, that have the right hardware, but they don't have the right software. Talking about computers. You've got the hardware. You've got great big either Dell or HP or something. You got great big computer here with all kinds of beautiful screens, and it's got a great big hard drive in it and blah, blah, blah. But you ain't got the right software driving it. You may have a beautiful body, 10 body in a man or a woman, and you're loved by all kinds of people. You have great times at parties and blah, 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 blah. But you don't have what it takes on the inside. Malachi is warning you. And he's also telling you that Father will send Elijah the prophet. And remember what we said about the word prophet, okay? Don't take what your mind has been led to think about what prophet means. Too many people expect somebody that teaches Yahweh's word to be somebody who's infallible, somebody who walks on water, somebody who's never said a bad word, somebody who's never picked his nose or let a fart in church. I mean, they've got all kinds of stupidity. It's unbelievable. But what does the word actually mean? Prophetes. And we said right here, in the Greek writings, going clear back to the time of the Septuagint, an interpreter of oracles or other hidden things. What are scripture? What is scripture? One who is moved by the Spirit of Yahweh, and hence his organ or spokesman. You're being given all kinds of clues, people. All kinds of clues. The beautiful thing is that there have been a lot of people that are getting the words that we speak on these broadcasts, because I'm hearing it in many, many different circles. So take heart in that, the fact that there are people waking up. There is an awakening going on. I just read a great article on a website talking about that. There is a spiritual awakening going on. As things have gotten going from bad to worse, and they continue to go downhill, this is waking and exciting a lot of people. So I'm telling you, it's getting close. Not only is our Father upset with the way things are, but there's also a lot of people that are becoming quite upset. Praise Yahweh. We need that. So this is a call to action for all Israelites, just as Malachi warned us right here. And the scriptures talk in the New Testament about the same thing. Be ye a doer of the word and not a hearer only. Do what you can, folks. Don't listen to other people. Well, you're not a doer unless you do what I do. Well, I'm going to go down here and picket some politician's house. Well, if that's what he's called to do, fine. But if you're not called to do it, don't go. Just like Gideon didn't take the people that were timid about going against the Midianites, he didn't take them with him. Because if you're timid about it, you don't have a calling. You're going to get in the way, and you're probably going to get somebody hurt. You go by the calling that you have. Don't let people intimidate you. Be called by his name. Be counted amongst his sheep. And be welcomed into his mansion when this thing's all over. There's a big push right now to put all the complete degeneracy of the Talmudic Jew down our throats. This is also waking up a lot of people. So when your enemy's making a mistake, don't interfere. You know, a lot of people are, you know, they're full of angst, they're full of anxiety, they're full of all kinds of negative thoughts and energy. Don't do that, people. Don't do it to yourself, all right? First of all, Father told us this was coming. He said it would be this ugly right before the end. And you can feel it. But pretty soon there is a fire coming. Just don't be the ones in the burning barrel. Okay, that's for the tares. Don't get yourself in a position where when the angels come with that sickle, that you're the one that they uproot. The wicked are not going to be around much longer, folks. I'm telling you, they're not. Okay, remember the rule, kind after kind after kind after kind. Whatever you got to do, get this message into your children and everybody in your family's head. And if they don't like it, then fine, but then you're not going to have their blood on your shoulders. Okay, Scripture is very plain about that. If you did not tell them, the blood is on you. That's why I told my children. I had no idea if they were going to listen to me. That's not why I told them. I told them because the commandment is for me to tell them. As a watchman, it's for me to tell them and to tell you. Because if you go forth now and you don't make the cut, it's not on my head, it's on yours. Same thing with your family members. Tell them the truth. It's up to them then. I'm still telling you that the military under a monarchy, until Yahshua himself decides to come down and be that monarch, you're going to have a monarchy one way or the other. So I love it when people give me a rough time about that. Oh, I don't believe in monarch, Dan. You know, there was a king and we resisted that. Well, that's because it was an evil king. There were still a lot of colonists that wanted to have a monarchy because they wanted to George Washington. George Washington would have been named king of the United States, except he turned it down. That's where we get the word president. He said, I will preside over the nation. I don't want to be a monarch. Okay? So it wasn't against, the founding fathers weren't against monarchy. They understood monarchy is actually the most efficient form of governing there is, as long as it's a beneficial monarchy, meaning you've got a righteous man in there. Okay? So they weren't against monarchy. They were against the one that they had in England because he was a tyrant. This oligarchy operating as a monarchy today in Washington is 1,000 times worse than King George ever thought about being. Okay? They're 1,000 times worse. So you're going to have monarchy. You already have one now. The kakistocracy is run by an oligarchy at the very top. Okay, so it's a group, a small group of people operating as if they're a dictator. Okay, that's a form of monarchy. A dictator is a bad form of monarchy. Okay, you've got a monarch coming in Yahshua who's a righteous monarch. Are you going to argue with him? When he comes and sits upon the throne, you're going to argue with him? Really? I want to see there. Let me know when you plan on going down and giving him a hard time about being a monarch, will you? I want to be there. I want to get my popcorn and my drink, and I want to be in the bleachers watching that show, because that's going to be fun to watch. You chastising the King of Kings when he takes his throne as our monarch. The other thing you need to be quite aware of course, is the fact that the push for gun control. Gun control is nothing more than disarming the people and preparing them for a Bolshevik takeover. Complete Bolshevik running over of we the people. That's all it is. They can have as many staged events as they want, and if you think for 1 minute these aren't staged events, you're dumber than a box of rocks. I'm sorry, but you are. And people that stupid, really, maybe you don't deserve to exist. Maybe that's what this is all about. This is Yahweh's way of eliminating the weak, the cucks, the effeminate, the homosexual, and the completely imbecilic from amongst us, since we have completely eliminated every natural barrier that would eliminate those people from the gene pool. Maybe Father's going to do it for us. Okay? Staged events, people. If you had even a modicum of training as an investigator, one of the first things you always look for in any crime is who benefits from the crime. Who's benefiting from all these shooting events, folks? Come on. Unbelievable. It's to take your weapons. I hope you're paying attention. I like a belt buckle I saw at a Renaissance fair, either that or a gun show way back in the 1980s. You can have my weapon when you pry it from my cold, dead fingers. You may get me. I'm not saying that I'm going to be able to stand against them. You may get me. But I'll have my weapons with me when I go down. And given a chance, they'll be used against you. Whoever you are, it doesn't matter. Jonathan Locke, one of the philosophers that our founding fathers quoted quite often, Jonathan Locke had probably one of the most profound sayings that I've ever read. Any man or group of men trying to disarm you is your mortal enemy. Did you catch that? Any man or group of men trying to disarm you is your mortal enemy. Now, mortal, M-O-R-T-A-L. What did Jonathan Locke mean when he said that those trying to disarm you are your mortal enemy? Well, let's go to the dictionary. Okay? Liable or subject to death. Of or relating to human beings as being subject to death. Number two, causing death, fatal, brought to the death, relentlessly hostile, implacable. That's what mortal means. Mortal enemy, to the death. An enemy that means for you to be exterminated. And again, I'll say again, get your children out of these hellholes called public schools and get them the hell out of universities. Universities serving no purpose today whatsoever. Universities and colleges are completely 100% useless. We need to go back to the days of masters and apprentices, teaching by going out there on an individual basis, etc. The idea that a school of higher education is the way to go is a complete and utter waste of time and money. So right there is a two-pronged approach. Get your children out of the public school system and get them a real education where they'll be taught to think for themselves and to investigate, and screw the entire secondary education system beyond the 12 grades. Universities, colleges, whatever you want to call them. Waste of time. Waste of time. Hotbeds of Bolshevism, and most of the people coming out, they're giving the degrees away like candy because it's all about a business. It's all to keep the professors, who are predominantly liberals and Bolsheviks, to keep them in work. Give them a job because they can't hold a real job. They have no talent. They have no skills. They just blather Bolsheviktic sayings and Marxist remarks, etc., etc. Okay, so they have nothing to offer anybody. So they have to. They want you to pay to keep these Marxists gainfully employed. I don't think that's our duty. I think they need to be sent out and done away with. Get rid of them. And get rid of them by not spending your money in the institution and not sending your children there. Okay? And again, I don't want to brag, but most of my family, I made way more money than they did in my career, and I never got a college education. But I knew what I was doing. I educated myself as I worked. I took ongoing adult education my entire life to improve myself. Never stopped. That's the way it's supposed to be. You never stop learning. You never stop teaching. This idea I'm going to go get and learn everything in a college and get a degree and then I can sit on my ass for the rest of my life? That degree is supposed to mean something? They're meaningless today. Absolutely meaningless. All right. I think that's enough. All right. So I want to close this here in a prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to reach out to our brothers and sisters all over this earth. We know the time is short. We know things are looking pretty ugly out there. We also know there's an awakening going on. So we praise you for that. Don't let us get into the trap of believing in the lies and the misinformation and the negativity and negative energy and the negative frequencies that the beast wants, because our fear is what they're fed off of. They live on our fear, much as they live on the blood of these innocent children to try to regenerate their sick and demented bodies. Spiritually, they feed off of us with our fear and our confusion. So help us to stay focused on you, Father, your word and the prophets, because the wisdom is in there. All we have to do is come together. Our people come together in unity. Unity of what? Kind. Kind after kind. We're all family. It's really that simple. We come together as a family, we're invincible. And they know that. That's why they want us divided on every issue you can imagine, whether it's men and women, young and old, whatever. It's to divide us because they know that in our unity, they are finished. I would ask, Father, by thy Spirit, that you would bring this unity of our people and that we would then organize, and the men at swords being led by the wise men amongst our people would then go about the business of cleaning up this earth as Malachi, Obadiah, and Ezekiel and others have told us. We pray for that to be soon, Father. We pray for the innocent souls that are still suffering because of our inaction, because of our vacillating instead of coming together in unity. It's a shame that any of these innocent souls have to go through this stuff when we have the power to fix it. Shame on us. Be with us, Father. Guide us in all that we say and do. Give us good discernment, a stiff backbone, a spirit of courage, a spirit of good discernment, and protect us from our enemies. We ask this in Yahweh's precious name. Hallelujah.